My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
This summer, Instacart presents famous summer flavors coming to your front door or pool or hotel.
Your grocery delivery has arrived, sir.
That was faster than room service.
No violins in the lobby.
Oh, seriously? Anyway, sit back, relax, and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Starring your favorite snacks, drinks, and more.
Download Instacart for free delivery on your first three orders. Rated H for hungry audiences. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad. We're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Dawson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going on?
I'm good. I'm surveying my kingdom, so to speak, and I've just found a discarded penalty notice thing.
What's that?
I just think we live two very different lives, Chris. You're drinking alcohol-free beer in a beautiful studio. I'm in my shed with looking at penalty charge notices I've received.
A penalty charge notice? What have you been doing?
A penalty charge notice. There is no parking on my street, and I just sometimes I will play fast and loose with the rules, and then a little man with a little scooter will pop up, and he'll say, "Don't do that. Don't you do that."
That'll be you.
I would say that, like,
that'll be you
like,
one day on the other side.
That rich people do park where they want. Like, seriously, rich people park where they want. Because, like, most parking these days is like 12 quid and wherever you park, and that's for a couple of hours. But, like, rich people just rock up. They take the penalty charge notice. It's 30 quid, and they can just park all day because they just leave the penalty charge notice on the front of their car, and it's good stuff.
That's power. That's power you can't
buy. That is power. Just a little bit of money. It makes your life a lot better, doesn't it?
You heard it here first on the Abroad Japan podcast.
Yeah,
When I was in London last week for the thing, the Buckingham Palace trip, I was passing through Mayfair, which is like, if you want to feel like you're nothing, go to Mayfair, where everyone has $1 billion and they drive Ferraris and Aston Martins. And yeah, as you say, they were literally, it was like double yellow lines, don't park here, everywhere. And they park there. Penalty notices over all the cars, multiple penalty notices on some cars, and they just don't give a shit because it's like, I'll pay 500 quid and it won't bat an eyelid. So it's one rule for them, one rule for us, isn't it? Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
But I'm still sipping my non-alcoholic beer from the fridge. It's growing on me. There must be something in this. How can non-alcoholic beer be no calories? What is it? Is it just carbonated water with like a bitterness?
I just can't see why you would do an alcohol-free beer and then make it no calories, because it's like no calories just always makes something taste a bit like, how are they fermenting or not fermenting something? I don't know. I don't know how it works.
Take a trip to the old factory. Get down the Suntory factory. I must say though, of all the non-alcoholic beers in Japan, this is the best. I drink Suntory, all free, calorie-free. Better than that Asahi nonsense. Better than Sahi. But we've got a story this week. We're diving in. We've got a story this week from Glowy from Iceland, which is the coolest name we've ever had. Their name's spelled G-L-O-E-Y, and they've written in brackets G-L-O-W-E-Y to explain how it is pronounced. So thank you, Glowy. That's a cool name.
Thanks, Glowy.
Hello, Chris and Pete. I've wanted to share this story for a while, although it's from my dad, not me. Back when the Japanese embassy here in Iceland first opened, my dad's friends who own a gardening company were working in a garden right next door. They were interested in Japanese gardens and asked the staff where they could go to see the best examples. Seeing as the embassy was newly opened, the workers didn't have much to do, so they took it upon themselves to plan and book a trip to Japan for them. Upon landing in Kobe, they were instructed to wait in their seats until the rest of the passengers deboarded. When it was finally their time to leave the plane, they were greeted by a marching band, a car, and their very own driver. Totally bewildered, they made their way down and were welcomed by a gentleman who turned out to be none other than the mayor of Corby. He acted as their tour guide as they spent the whole day being driven around to explore the finest gardens that Corby had to offer. They took to their hotel for the night and were not contacted by the mayor again. He probably realised that the group of very confused men, all dressed in cargo shorts, were not a party of diplomats, and some major miscommunication must have occurred at the new embassy. What a thing to happen. Thanks, guys. Glowy from Iceland. Is this
lovely.
Real? This is my. It's always a bit shifty when it's like, yeah, my dad's mate has
yeah,
a
story. I think there's some quintessentially Japanese miscommunication, I think. There's some, mistranslation there, I would say. And also just, it's such a weird story. Getting presumably a free flight to Japan, to Kobe, to a diplomatic flight to Japan to check out some gardens. I mean, like, it's amazing stuff. And, like, what an opportunity.
I mean, it's quite a mix-up, isn't it, though? Like, what did the embassy say? Like, oh, we've had some esteemed gentlemen from Iceland who want to come over. And probably think it's like the Prime Minister of Iceland. And it's just a highly proficient gardener. It's brilliant. That is great.
Yeah.
To come
I
off
love
a plane to a marching
band. My favourite sort of regal mix-ups is, you know, involve gardening companies. The whole, remember when Donald Trump did that big speech outside, it wasn't Donald Trump,
yes.
It was Giuliani, yeah. Wasn't it? He did that outside the Four Seasons Gardening Company.
The Four Seasons Gardening Centre. What a bell end, honestly. What a bell end. That's lovely. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
I wonder, just the mayor's gradual dismay as the day unfolded, like, so it's great to meet you. You must be the Prime Minister. No, I do the garden. What? Like, the mayor's taking a busy day off his schedule to drive around Glowy's dad's friend. That's good stuff. I hope that story's real. I'm sure it is. That's a pretty elaborate story to make up otherwise, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I could see it happening, certainly.
I could see it happening as well. And in equal weirdness this week, we've got a crazy old story that's difficult for me to comprehend. A foreign student in Japan charged for riding an electric suitcase without a license. You've heard of cars, you've heard of go-karts. Now get ready for the electric suitcase. What the dickens is going on, Pete, with this electric suitcase?
I mean, wow. A woman in her 30s, a student in Japan, was referred to prosecutors after allegedly riding her suitcase on a sidewalk in Osaka. The suitcase could travel at a maximum speed of 8 miles per hour, which is classified at the same as a moped with a 50cc engine. Japanese police have stressed to the public that riders of electric motorised suitcases must have a driver's licence after a Chinese woman became the first person to be referred to prosecutors for unlicensed riding. This woman bought it on a website, she said. She'd not been made aware of the different vehicle classifications and Japanese restrictions around engine sizes. What I would say is that if you are riding something motorised on a sidewalk slash pavement over here, I would say that you are running the risk of falling foul of the law anyway, because bicycles are allowed to be ridden on the pavement, obviously. Mm. But as soon as you start introducing motors and stuff, you're on a hiding to nothing, aren't you, Chris? Surely.
I mean, I'm just taken aback. I'm looking at this motorised suitcase now, and
it looks cool. It looks
flipping
cool.
But it sort of looks more like a moped than a suitcase. But it's
it's
just fucking weird. Who thought this up? What's going on?
I mean, I've seen versions of this, like a kind of they all look like sort of little mini Tesla Cybertrucks. But this one looks very functional. Let's say it looks like a it's a little bit like, you know, like that in the video game Starfield, that futuristic sort of NASA vibe. It's just very functional, kind of blocky monstrosity. Good honor. Good honor, that's all I can say. Good honor.
It's the first this rideable suitcase, it's the first case of its kind in Japan. This case.
Thank you.
And so the general rule of thumb,
like we now we don't know whether it's the first case of its kind in Japan or the first legal case in Japan. So you've confused us there, Christopher. You've confused
the first case.
The first case. All right. Fine.
That's funny. It's clever puns. The general rule of thumb in Japan, though, is that if a vehicle has a maximum speed of 3.7 miles per hour or 6 kilometers per hour, it's treated as a pedestrian rather than a vehicle, right? So,
right.
But this suitcase went up to a whopping, incredible 8 miles per hour, which means it's classified as a scooter. I noticed around Tokyo, the e-scooters, e-bikes things have really taken off now.
Right.
I think we have them in the UK, but I think what are they called? They're called Loop or something? Not sure. But what, I know line? Ian uses them a lot to get around Tokyo. And you just sort of turn up, you know, you get an app, you like scan it and off you go kind of thing. And they're all around Tokyo at the moment. And becoming quite popular. I've seen a few folks get stopped for riding them around, though, because I don't think you're supposed to drive them on the pavement, and people are, and when they do, shit goes down.
But then surely if you're on the road, I guess you're allowed to be on the road with a bicycle without a license, so maybe you are allowed to sort of scoot around with them. Interesting.
But then bikes aren't, a standard bike isn't electrical, is it? So I guess that's not.
No, good point.
Different thing.
Yeah.
But we reported a few weeks ago on how lots of gangs are taking over. The Yakuza are out. The new gangs are in. And what better way to commit robberies than electric suitcase?
Yeah.
Break in, grab the jewellery, whack it in the suitcase, close the suitcase, hop on the suitcase, drive off on the suitcase.
8 miles an hour. 8 miles an hour. What is the fastest kind of speed of like a running Japanese policeman? Because I never know. Is it 25? Is 25 miles per hour seems too fast. The fastest man in the world. Couldn't Usain Bolt do 25, or is that absolutely insane? 15?
Everyone's not Usain Bolt. No, I think 25, or even 30. You've got to look it up now. I want to know. How fast can the average human being run? Can you outrun an electric suitcase? It's the question I need to know an answer to before today is out. Have you got an answer?
They do. The way that when people use these kind of scooters and stuff, and I've used a few around, Bristol was always quite a big place to use them. People just stand very upright. Where are the stooped people? Like I don't know what it is about riding a scooter. People just have very straight backs. It's the only time I've ever straightened my back.
The only time. The record.
Terrible posture.
For Usain Bolt. His speed is 44 kilometers per hour, or 27 miles per hour. So he can outrun the electric suitcase by a factor of three. Take that, suitcases. I guess the average speed of a human being, what is that? It must be like 20 miles per hour or something. I don't know.
Oh, I think it's only like about 15 maximum, absolutely running as fast as possible. I think that's as fast as we get.
I quite want one now, though. This is what I want for my birthday. Somebody get me a motorized suitcase so I can drive around Tokyo.
You live in a Japanese home. You haven't got room for suitcases or scooters.
Oh, that'd be a lot of fun, though, wouldn't it? Whipping around. That'd be a good video. I spent a day on a motorized suitcase in Tokyo. Would you click on that, Pete? Would you watch that?
Jamming metal bars into the spokes of the Mario Kart generation.
Perfect. We'll be back in just a moment, guys, with your stories, comments and questions over in the fax machine.
If you're taking care of a senior loved one, then you know it can be hard. Remember, it's okay to ask for help. There's a reason why 29 million families have turned to Care.com. Experienced senior caregivers can help with everything from meal prep to taking your loved one to doctor's appointments. And every caregiver you hire is background checked. So important for peace of mind. Find full-time, part-time, or even occasional help that fits your family's schedule and budget. Get the support you need with Care.com.
Okay, you can do this.
I know. Carvana makes it so convenient to sell your car. It's just hard to let go. My car and I have been through so much together.
But look, you already have a great offer from Carvana. That was fast.
Well, I know my license plate and VIN by heart, and those questions were easy.
You're almost there. Now to just accept the offer and schedule a pickup or drop-off.
How'd you do it? How are you so strong in letting go of your car?
Well, I already made up my mind, and Carvana's so easy.
Yeah, true. And sold.
Go to Carvana.com to sell your car the convenient way.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
Connect to Turkey's cultural heritage. Immerse yourself in the timeless beauty of Ephesus, where ancient civilizations once thrived. Gaze upon the awe-inspiring vistas of Cappadocia, where every sunrise paints a masterpiece in the sky. Each destination reveals a chapter of humanity's rich story. Discover the UNESCO World Heritage Sites in Turkey with Turkish Airlines.
Wow.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Dawson?
We got a message from Michelle in Pennsylvania, US. Dear Chris and Pete, my husband and I recently returned from a vacation to Prince Edward Island, Canada, to visit the real-life setting for the fictional book Anne of Green Gables. What a literary trip.
Your
that
favorite.
Is. A classic novel about a precocious 11-year-old orphan with red hair. We were surprised at the number of Japanese tourists we encountered, and we saw a quilt that had been donated by the Japanese Quilting Guild. What a guild that is. That's very much down the list of ones you join in Skyrim, isn't it? A museum worker told us that General MacArthur put the book into Japanese libraries during American occupation, post-World War II, in order to promote individualism and democratic values. We found this story interesting, and we were wondering if you have witnessed any other cross-cultural phenomena similar to this that have surprised you. Love your channel and the podcast. All the best, Michelle. Pennsylvania, US. Chris, any sort of transatlantic influences that you're excited by?
Political ones. They're designed to nudge countries in political directions. It reminds me of Animal Farm by George Orwell, which is like, I don't think it was funded by the CIA or anyone like that, but I think it got pushed to a lot of people. Obviously mocking the Soviet economy. That's a cracking good book. It's a great way in how not to run a farm as well. Love Animal Farm.
functionally, it really does tell you where to go. You've got
it works on so many
where you go
book.
Wrong when it comes to animal husbandry.
Because
a lot of them start walking on 2 feet. Confusing.
That's right. It's a cracking good book. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. Can you? It's quite a specific query.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of something that you sort of see. I think they're kind of the French kind of. I would say like food's a big one. Obviously, it's not really literary, is it? But when you see that bloke in Harajuku who reckons he's invented the Portuguese custard tart, that stuff like that, you sort of go, well, that's an interesting little kind of quirk where a man is just lying about how he invented the custard tart.
Brilliant. We got a video coming out. It should be out now, actually, at the time of this podcast, about Japan's worst tourism traps. Tourist traps. And I went to Harajuku for the first time in like 100 years with American Pete.
Takeshita Street, guys.
Oh, horrible. It's so horrible. It's my least favourite thing. You know, it's clearly not aimed at me. You know, a very grumpy, almost middle-aged white guy. It's not, doesn't really tick my box. Not my demographic.
Is it even aimed at young Japanese women anymore? Or is it just
I don't really know
tourists.
Who it's aimed at. Because it used to be like, you know, the centre of cool, kawaii, cute culture and fashion. Is it though? It's not.
People sell handbags
like
and pig cafes, isn't it, really?
Sad handbags and pig cafe. Yeah. That's a great legacy. It is, yeah. And the food is just, you know, an atrocity. Pete and I ate a massive candy floss, which was so big, Pete's face got lost in it. Like, he took a bite, and the candy floss got literally stuck to his face. He couldn't, it was like a face hugger out of Alien.
It's food that looks like stuff you'd find in a video game, isn't it? It's like corn dogs with massive kind of, like, chips on those long chips you
get. We had that as well.
Long chips, kid. Massive ice creams, kind of melon soda, all that tat.
The worst one, though, was rainbow cheese sandwich. Have you ever had a rainbow cheese sandwich, Pete?
You tried explaining things to me, when we were going to a restaurant like last Saturday, and you're going, rainbow cheese, you've had rainbow cheese? I'm going, Chris, I'm not talking about it now. I'm not going to talk about it on the podcast now because rainbow cheese doesn't exist and you've gone mad. They've added food colouring to something.
No, it's rainbow cheese.
Rainbow cheese, isn't it?
Made in rainbow land in Hokkaido. fuck me. The sandwich took like 25 minutes to produce. So I was like, oh, that must be good then. I did see him do it. He got like, it looked like a bar of soap, a rainbow coloured bar of soap.
Bar of soap.
And he like stuck it between two bits of bread and slammed down the George Foreman grill. And it just, brilliant. Oh God, it just like melted into this like rubbery paste and fucking.
It's all for the gram, baby. It's all for the gram.
There must have been no edible matter in that. It was truly, truly appalling. I've got a question here from Matt, who says, hello, Chris and Pete. I've recently been accepted to the JET program. Well, hey, congratulations, Matt. Along with my wife, I've been offered positions with a company up in Sendai. We were over the moon to be placed in Tohoku, let alone Sendai. We'll arrive in the first week of August. I'd love to know, what's the winter like in Sendai? Is there snow? And what are your top three choices of restaurant in the Sendai area? Thanks in advance. Keep up the fantastic work, Matt. Number one, the weather in Sendai is actually really nice all year round. It's It's hot in summer, but not that hot. It's known as like the coolest place in Japan, as in cool as in temperature, not cool because Ryotaro is there. It's nice and cool throughout the year. But in winter, it has no snow. And it's got the perfect climate, I'd say. I felt very lucky to live there. Much nicer than Tokyo climate-wise. And in terms of the restaurants, I actually don't remember. There's a good place called Rigoletto out the front of the station. There's a nice Mexican down in Cockabunshaw, can't remember the name of it. And there's lots of good gyutan restaurants around the station. I must say, I'm very bad at remembering restaurant names, but there's a lot of good stuff in Sendai. You're in for a treat. Just try the gyutan, because cow tongue does sound quite unappealing, but actually it's really good. They do an amazing job barbecuing it, so it's quite flavourful and not as chewy and as abhorrent as you would imagine that it is. We've got one last question from Kevin. He says, hello, Chris and Pete. After hearing Pete hype up Coolish for the 10,000th time, I made it my goal to find this cold treat. After a month or so of searching my local Asian market, I finally found it. Sorry, Pete, it was only just okay. And my question to Pete is, are there any other Japanese snacks or foods you couldn't get before but are now available? Any other particular treats you find yourself craving? Keep up the good work, Kevin from LA. Well, Pete, answer away.
I would say that, like, I'm very excited. I think Kevin might have contacted us on Twitter, and I don't think, we still call it Twitter. And we think that, and I think I'm very excited the fact it's finally made landfall, because it's been spotted in Hawaii, but now it's made landfall do they call it the Western Seaboard? What is a seaboard? I don't know. People always talk about the Eastern Seaboard, but it's just seaboard, coastline, all right. I've got no. It's just seaboard. It's not a British word, is it? We don't really use it all that much, do we? Anyway, either way, it's made landfall in Los Angeles, so that means it can only be.
It's like
Europe
a storm.
Soon. Yeah,
a storm
exactly.
Made landfall.
Yeah, a storm of flavor, a storm of delicious. But it is. But it's with anything like that, it's not about what it tastes like. It's about what it represents, what it does to your body. Etc. So it's kind of it's a delicious, cool treat on a hot day. Coolish for the win, as we said about 15 years ago.
Coolish for the win. Oh dear.
But Haichu, I'm always excited by. You see Haichu in like Sainsbury's now, and it's kind of like regarded as being like a world, like these world snacks. So you'll get like these massive F off. Hot dogs from America, and you'll have like big long pickles and stuff, and marshmallows and nerds and stuff like that in the local Sainsbury's. But then you'll have a little packet of Haichu, and they don't really flag it up as being quintessentially Japanese, but it is a Japanese sweet, which is flavorful, tough, and then soft, and then it's unlike any other kind of like chewable sweet in the UK or America. I think it's an absolute banger, and nobody ever talks about it.
Yeah, I think my good friend and cameraman, Paul, I think, is it him or Marcus? One of them always eats it on our sheets. They're always like stuffing their face with Haichu
sweets.
Very
moist mouth. Yeah. The man's got a very moist mouth.
It's a secret
old
of being a good
moist
cameraman.
Mouth. Yeah.
And wash it down with some Strong Zero.
Apparently, somebody pointed out that Strong Zero has started being sold in the UK, but it's not called Strong Zero, and it's a bit weaker as well. which defeats the object, surely.
Week zero. Coming to the UK.
Less than zero. Disgusting.
Well, I will stick to my Suntory all-free beer that people probably think is like a product place, but when it's not, that's Tully's. Stick to Tully's. Call it Tully's
stick
coffee.
Tully's, guys.
Suntory non-alcoholic beer. Mix it together, and you get fucked up. Okay, that's the end of today. I'm getting drunk. I'm feeling pretty lightheaded.
That's the end of today. This is the end of the show. We should really start. We should start that business we've been talking so much about. The alcohol
Ringo
free
Star,
beer.
Apparently. Dear. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com or comment down below here on YouTube. But for now, guys, have yourself a great few days. Check out the video on Abroad Japan about tourist traps, which I'm sure we'll discuss in the next episode. But for now, have yourself a great few days and see you right back here to do it all over again. On the Suntory-sponsored, branded podcast. No, on the Abroad Japan podcast. Bye for now.
Peace and love. Peace and love. No more signings. I'm not signing anything after November 5th. Peace and love.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
It can be hard balancing taking care of kids, senior loved ones, and yourself. Remember, it's okay to ask for help. There's a reason 29 million families have turned to Care.com. Find background-checked sitters, nannies, and senior caregivers who can help with everything from watching kids after school to senior meal prep. Whether you need full-time, part-time, or even occasional help, you can view rates and book highly rated caregivers that fit your budget and schedule. Get the help you need with Care.com.
Connect to Turkey's cultural heritage. Immerse yourself in the timeless beauty of Ephesus, where ancient civilizations once thrived. Gaze upon the awe-inspiring vistas of Cappadocia, where every sunrise paints a masterpiece in the sky. Each destination reveals a chapter of humanity's rich story. Discover the UNESCO World Heritage Sites in Turkey with Turkish Airlines.